both of you have kind of bagged quite a good life out of the old barbering gig, haven't you? You're 20 years plus in the industry. Yeah, yeah. You're both smiling. You're both happy. What's the secret?
We're mixing the old school and the new school year and the future school year that's coming. We're mixing it all up.
It changed the game for me. I got to a point where I'd have a queue of people and I'd be looking at the last guy that was waiting for me and I'd be thinking, like, shit, he's going to be waiting an hour and a half. There was constant pressure on me and, you know, you've got a row of people sat there watching you cut hair and thinking, oh, when's my turn? And
that pressure. People are not looking at these small numbers. I wasn't the best at maths, but since I started becoming a barber, I started working out these numbers one by one.
You put a pound sign in front of numbers and we all become much better mathematicians.
Yeah, 100%.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony LeBand, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there, I'm Anthony LeBand and welcome to another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm here in beautiful Liverpool. We've been talking about coming to Liverpool for such a long time. Luke's very excited. He feels like he's come home again. And I am here with Pete Cranfield. I'm sure I'm here with both of them. You both know who these guys are. Pete Cranfield, lovely to have you, mate.
Thank you.
And Romeo the Barber. And we're in his beautiful space, mate. It's lovely. It's so nice being here. I've watched so many of your clips in this space. It's very nice to be sitting here.
Thank you.
Reason I wanted to talk to you, I said as we got here, you know, I think the industry is starting to get we're getting a bit caught up in the kind of doom and gloom of everything, and everyone's miserable about, and I find the industry's at its most exciting for me at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's so much going on. There's so much demand. There's so many guys actually interested and caring about what they look like. There's such a chance to be creative. Barbers are taking all that work away from hairdressers, as they should, and are doing a great job of it. And everything I see about you two is really positive. You know, you share, you're into it. That was my main reason for coming to Liverpool and speaking to the two of you. So thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure to be on.
Pleasure to meet you, man. Finally, man.
And both of you have kind of bagged quite a good life out of the old barbering gig, haven't you? You're 20 years plus in the industry. Yeah, yeah. You're both smiling. You're both happy.
Yeah, man.
What's the secret?
We're mixing the old school and the new school year and the future school year that's coming. We're mixing it all up.
Yeah.
Like, in the day, you're like, look, you can't be scared, like, to do something new. Mm-hmm. Whatever, like, let's say now, yeah, obviously, we're going into the future. We've got to move with the times. We can't get stuck here back in the old school day. But what's good about us is we can give you the old school, we can give you the modern school and the future as well, all in the space of one.
Yeah, definitely. It's like you say, it's evolving. It's exciting for us. And for me, someone, you know, like I said to you before, I've been in the industry 20 odd years. And for me, it's exciting to see it evolve. There's no way I wanted to be stuck, you know, back in the day when I first started and it was £7 haircuts and, you know, it was a great atmosphere in the barbershop at that time. And that was where I learned, you know, most stuff that I know now. But the fact that it's moved on, we can charge, you know, we can know our worth, we can charge what, you know, what we should be charging for haircuts. Can tailor your services now. So it's nice that you can, you know, you can offer a service that's more high end, or, you know, you can give the clients a nicer experience.
But both of you must have been barbering in the 10-minute, 15-minute walk-in, stress of a long queue waiting for you, everyone looking at their watch. You must have worked through that period.
I've worked through that, I think, and for like 6 years plus.
But are you enjoying the move? Both of you are big advocates of kind of booking systems and so on.
Yeah. Massively,
Do you find that, have you enjoyed that move?
It changed the game for me. Like, I got to a point where I'd have a queue of people and I'd be looking at the last guy that was waiting for me and I'd be thinking, like, shit, he's going to be waiting an hour and a half, you know, for his haircut, sometimes longer. And I had a constant guilt and, like, there was constant pressure on me. And, you know, you've got a row of people sat there watching you cut hair and thinking, oh, when's my turn? And
that pressure.
Someone would come in the door and, like, how long's the wait? And
how long is...
Yeah, it was just a...
I must admit. Yeah, I did quite like that buzz of...
Yeah, it was good. Everyone had chat on that, but it was...
But I don't miss
pressure.
It.
Yeah, because you know what? Yeah, when I started getting popular, I've literally had people queue up outside the door before I even arrived.
Yeah.
And they know when they come in, the wait was like about 6 hour wait. So as soon as like a group of people come in the morning, and at the time it used to take me about an hour just to do one haircut, where now it takes me 20 minutes to do one haircut. And I'm like, I wish I could go back then right now. It would be booming. So people will come in, first bunch of people will come in, and then another bunch will come in around lunchtime. So now the hour goes from like 2 hour wait to 6 hour wait. By 3 o'clock, more people will come in. And I was like, man, there's so many people to do. By the time I know, I'm there till like past midnight doing haircuts.
Don't get to eat again.
Well, that was a bit. We had a bench outside ours, and you're thinking, right, done in a minute, and then you'd look through the mirror at the bench, and you'd realise there's four guys who've just come and sat down. You're like, all right,
no food.
But now, do you find that your appointment times has changed? Now you're booking. Are you more leisurely? Because I see this a lot. I've got a big pile of questions here from everybody out there for you both. But do you find? Do you think it's good that people are taking half hour, 45, an hour appointment?
Yeah, definitely. My appointments are an hour. So I do, I do 7-8 haircuts a day. Whereas, back in the day, like I was saying before, when I first moved into Liverpool, into a big, massive barbershop, it had 30 chairs. Wow. And they prided themselves that it was like the biggest barbershop in Europe. So there was 30 Belmont barber chairs in this huge space. And our appointment times were 20 minutes, and that was with a hair wash. So we all had our own apprentice. The apprentice would get the client in the back wash, wash the hair, sit down, consultation. So realistically, you had like maybe 12 minutes to cut someone's hair before your next client was there getting the hair washed. And
it was like conveyor belt, the money
they were making must have been incredible. Do you know what I mean? But again, I went from walking to doing them appointments, and it was just as stressful because you'd run over. So then it wouldn't work. So when I eventually went to work for myself, that was when I could kind of say, well, right, I'm working for myself and I'm setting the rules. Do you know what I mean? And I started out with half an hour appointments. And then for me, the big turning point was obviously lockdown, COVID couldn't work. And I just really appreciated the time and appreciated the clients. I wanted them to sit down and really get that time with me in the chair. And I found that nice balance of being able to give everyone the amount of time in the chair, do what I wanted to do, to the standard I wanted to do it. So yeah, my appointments are an hour now, and for me personally, that works great. And my clients enjoy it. And I do with a lot of them, it might take me 45 minutes, so I'll have a little 15 minutes space in between where I can clean.
But you're charging for that. You're charging appropriately. And you're a bit of a king of the old 10 minutes still, though, aren't you? You quite like a bit of speed and pace, don't you?
It's like when it comes to like your shape up, for example, I take 10 minutes, but eventually, like, I want to basically cut down my, because at the moment I could do a haircut, beard in 20 minutes. And because I want to squeeze, because obviously I'm very like obviously busy and the demand is very high, I want to be able to squeeze in a lot of people in such a short amount of time, because I don't want to be here for 8 hours. So I want to be here for 3 hours, do about like 9 clients in that 3 hours, and then disappear for 3 hours, go gym, spend time with family, do what I gotta do, then come back again for another 3 more hours and do another 9 clients. So I'll be doing about 18 clients in a day and I won't even feel it.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? My thing is, I don't want to get burnt out, because I know what it was like back then when I was getting burnt out quite a lot by doing at least about 12 clients in like 12 hours. And then more clients used to walk in, so I have to stay behind until like midnight. So I'll be doing 8 hours a day, like every single day for like five years.
How do you fix your prices then if it jumps around so much?
Do you know what? The way I fix my prices is I've kept my prices how it was the last 3, 4, 5 years. It hasn't affected me, right? I'm doing haircuts in about 20 minutes. You've got people who, no disrespect to them. Like, if you're taking an hour, charge 100 quid for it. Do you know what I mean? You're taking an hour, like your time, you should value that. So where I've basically now, obviously I've got 20 minute haircuts, which is £25 for a skin fade. With beard is now 30 quid, but I still take that 20 minutes, that margin and that 20 minute margin. So you got some people that come in, I felt like, you've rushed my haircut. Cool, next time you book a haircut on my books, which is called Take Your Time. I actually do take an hour and I charge 75 quid for that.
Right.
So I don't have to increase my prices. I'm keeping my prices the same, but at the same time, what's reduced is the amount of time that I'm taking on your hair.
Yeah.
Because now, yeah, I've mastered that skill to be able to do a haircut in 15 to 20 minutes at a very high level. Right. Do you know what I mean? And my thing is...
20-minute beard and hair. I don't know if I've got that in me anymore, have you? That's the big thing. I think it's brilliant. I'm watching you. You know, you really do. And you are, you know, you say you're not burning out, but you are grafting to do nine haircuts in 3 hours.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, because obviously the way I've been built and the way I've been raised, like, you know what I mean? I've seen my mom graft, like, you know what I mean, growing up. Like, you know what I mean? And that sort of, like, inspired me. To graft like her, do you know what I mean? Obviously, like, you know, I've lost my mom about like 2 months ago now as well.
Ah.
So she passed away, and that's just taken like a big toll in my life. Yeah, but at the same time, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, you know what, even though she's passed away, yeah, she's left me with a grafting mentality.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And that's every time I'm grafting, that helps me to basically obviously remind me of her, you know what I'm saying, at the same time.
Yeah.
So which is great. Like, I love grafting, I like putting in that work.
Yeah.
I love an easy life. You know what I mean? I come from a hard life. The more graft that I put in, the more that I get out of it, the more I get to have an easy life now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone says, you know, there's so much, again, if you're doom scrolling that you know, you're not charging enough, you should put your prices up or how do you get, you know, you've both worked your prices really to fit your lifestyle. It's like, this is how much I want to make. This is it. This is my time.
Yeah.
Any advice for anyone of actually when they're setting their prices?
Yeah.
I think you've got to look at your clientele, and you've got to look at obviously the you know, the area which you're working in. Like, I notice obviously up here, there's maybe a bit of a ceiling or a limit to what you can charge, as opposed to further down south. You get, you know, I've got friends down there that charge maybe double what I do. But yeah, you know, like, I think it's got to be relevant to what people earn, what people's disposable income people have got. Also, like, obviously your time that you're putting into the haircut. And but yeah, I feel like I've kind of found a sweet spot that allows me to pay my bills, pay my rent, you know, cover what I need to cover, and make, you know, a wage that's decent enough to live on. And I kind of did the maths there and thought, well, if I charge this, if I do that many haircuts, then, you know, that covers me well.
But you've done the opposite of not putting your prices up. Would you say 5 years?
5 years, man. I've put my prices up, man. No, I've done the maths and I thought, you know what? If I can do 20-minute haircuts and I'm squeezing 3 people, I'm making 90 quid.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get a walk-in that comes in. So now I've got four people that I've got to squeeze in an hour. That's £120 in an hour. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Some people are doing an hour haircuts charging 40 quid.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, man, like, literally, I'm not rushing the haircut. It's a skill that I've learned for like years and years. Yeah. I've been practicing. I've lost a lot of clients because some of the clients were not happy getting those 15-minute haircuts. I was not happy with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, I was like, you know what? Carry on doing it, man.
Yeah.
And it got to a point here where now the haircuts are looking brilliant in 20-15 minutes.
Yeah.
They're looking absolutely amazing. And I've mastered that. Like, literally, it's just a pure, simple formula that I'm using that cut down my time here to that time. And now I can still keep my customers happy. And to the ones that are not happy, hey, man, book, take your time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'll take my time. Even then, I've jumped on my chair and I've took my time. And I've still managed to get them out of the chair in 20 minutes. And I'm thinking, like, the other day, a guy booked in Take Your Time, right? I've done their haircut. I've even took my time to wash his hair, you know? I've washed his hair, came and sat on my chair. I took my time with it. Man, put all the enhancement and that. Within 25 minutes, yeah, I was done with everything. I was like, what else am I going to do now for the next, like, 35 minutes? And I was
singing
like, you know,
song.
Let me touch him up a little bit. And I started, like, you know, giving my head massage. And he looked at me, mate, like, what are you doing? Like, don't be touching me up like that. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, what else am I supposed to do? Like,
I guess it's just as hard to slow it down. If you're used to working at that pace, it's got to be quite hard to slow it down.
Yeah.
But both of you come back to the same point that you're going, what am I worth an hour?
Yeah.
That's really what you've come back down to, isn't it? Yeah. And, you know, I know what my value is, and that's what I, you know, I wouldn't feel good charging less than
definitely.
I charge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think, you know, I want to earn what my hourly rate is.
Yeah.
Done. And you know, you're not going to get so many people paying 120 to sit there in your chair and the same, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but I want to talk to you about something really important. Our podcast here is more than just about the industry, the barbershop, and the life therein. It's about the community that we built. And in the time we've been doing this podcast, the community has been amazing and we've loved it. Now we're looking for you to get involved and become an essential part of our future. We're seeking long-term, mutually beneficial opportunities for partnership to come on board and help spread our message, to connect with our community, to help grow it, to keep the message strong, and to keep hearing and discussing these amazing topics that we do with all our guests. If you think your brand is the right brand for us, if you want to get in touch, please email me at thenoblebarberpodcast@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram. Be really good to talk to you. We'd love you to be part of our future. Okay, and now back to the episode. Taking it on to my next question, which is really is exactly that, the all the other bits. Because I think the kind of enhancements, the sprays, the hair pieces, all the other bits that we're seeing. You know, we saw both of you at Salon International. And you walk around there, certainly just in the men's barbering section, and there's a lot of add-ons. There's a lot of people flogging a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Place for it? Are you enjoying that? Do you use the other bits? Do you use your enhancements a great deal? Do you use your fibers and so on?
I don't have a lot of call for them, but I do see there's a massive place for them and where they work. Like some of my clients who are thin and use them, they don't ask me to use them in the shop, or I don't, I have them there so I can use them, you know, if I need to. But some of my clients will just use them if they're going out, or, you know, if they're out and about and they want the hair to look thicker. But obviously for photo shoots and more for your, you know, the kind of hair.
I mean, it certainly seems from editorial and TV
good place for stuff like that. Yeah.
Are you going through much of it in your 20?
You know what? Yeah, I go through a lot of the airbrush gun. I go through a lot because they do get clogged up because I use them that much. They get clogged up, yeah. So I got to order a couple of more from Amazon, which is like about 20 quid each. And I've got all of them over and over again because, you know, it is like a lot of the young generation nowadays, because that's what they see on socials and they want exactly that. So as soon as you finish the enhancement now, yeah, they ask for the white pencil that goes on the hairline. The white pencil and that, yeah, they want that. And then from there, when you finish that, yeah, it's like, oh, can you put more enhancement on this side? And then from that now, obviously you've got your liquid ones. And then before that, I was actually getting sponsored by Topic.
Okay.
So Topic, you would send me like loads of like enhancements. Hey, here you go, man. Just recently now. Like, obviously, I've been the ambassador, but they don't even know that I'm their ambassador.
Right.
Because obviously, they've got other, like, you know, agent that who are working for them to promote that. They're sending me products.
Right.
And then recently, somebody messaged me from their page saying, hey, any chance we can send you some products? And I was like, mate, you lot been sending me products every single month. Have you forgotten that? Do you know what I mean? So I've got more products, you know, getting sent by them. And then the day, like, people want to use the enhancement, I also start charging £5 extra now.
Yeah, so I was going to say, do you add a charge? Before,
I used to do it for free. Now I was like, hey, can I have an enhancement? I was like, do you know how much it cost me to get this enhancement shipped over from America? Because there's a brand that I use from America and it's like waterproof enhancements. So by the time obviously it's like £30 a bottle. The shipment will cost another extra £30. I got to order four bottles, that's 150 quid.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Why am I giving it for free? Yeah. Let me charge. You want it, right? There's a demand for it. Let me charge a fiver. If you charge a fiver, yeah, and you're going through 100 clients maybe a week,
yeah,
that's 500 quid extra.
Yeah.
You see, with me, I'm very good with numbers, you know. Yeah. So now that 500 quid here may not seem like a lot of money, yeah, but times that by four, yeah, that's 2 grand.
Yeah.
Pete, what's 2,000 here times 12? How much is that in a year?
It's 20 grand, isn't it? It's 24,000.
24,000, man.
Yeah.
People are not looking at these small numbers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I always, you know, when it comes to maths, yeah, I wasn't the best at maths, but since I started becoming a barber, I started working out these numbers one by one.
You put a pound sign in front of numbers and we all become much better mathematicians.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But that's exactly it. You know, you see it. And again, I think I definitely agree. I think there's a place for it. And if you've got the clients for it, but both of you have got strong followings. You both do a lot of social media. And you both kind of share really openly, which is great. Does it frustrate you when you see the clowns that start going, you know, they're almost like painting a wall with their enhancements.
Oh, yeah. I did answer one of them clowns and I said to him, I charge a fiver, yeah. Imagine in a year, yeah, if I did that much and it was 24 grand, yeah, for painting. I'll paint, I'd rather, yeah, stop cutting hair, yeah, and paint hairlines all day long. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's only like, what, like a 2-3 minute job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not taking you that long. So if you're doing it in 2 minutes, say, imagine there's a queue of people, you're wanting to just get enhancements. You're making a lot of money. £2 may seem like a little.
Yeah.
But when you multiply, it's a lot of money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. So, but then, like, you know, coffee shops and pizza places have been doing that for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll charge put some syrup in for a few extra bits and a few different milk.
Yeah.
It's exactly that. It adds up on the numbers,
doesn't
it? Yeah. And so if we go on to my next question, which is, while we're on the social media, how do you cope with clients' expectations? Because now we're getting so much kind of retouched and so much, you know, brilliantly, guys now care so much more that they're coming in, showing us a picture, showing us what they want. But it's unrealistic an awful lot of the time.
Big part of the service, I feel, is to educate clients, you know, whether it be how to style hair, whether it to be, you know, understanding that what they see on social media isn't true sometimes, i.e., you know, enhanced haircuts, as in like Photoshopped or, you know, other apps that are used. But yeah, you get, it's a lot of younger lads come in and they'll be like, oh, you know, can I have my hair like this? And I think it's just about talking, it's about educating them and saying, you know, well, it's either being enhanced with enhancements or, you know, it's not real. It's not realistic to look like that. I think, you know, you just got to talk to people and make them understand that a lot of what they're seeing isn't
getting a lot more AI pictures.
Yeah.
I get the feeling you'll be a bit more clear cut about getting their expectations.
So with their expectations, so now, listen, I'm a great, great barber, and if sometimes you let me just do my way, tell me you want a medium skin fit and I'll give you a medium skin fit. But then you've got clients that want their haircut done in a specific way, and you give them exactly that, they're happy with it. Yeah, and I'm looking at their hair because, like, I'm not posting that on social media. You must be crazy. Even though I've given them their expectation, how they want their haircut. But to me, I'm looking at it thinking, mate, do you know I can do so much better than what I've. But they're happy with it.
Yeah.
As long as they're happy with it, man, I'm happy with it. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I always say to my barbers, listen to what your client wants, not what you want to give to your clients.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's always worked for me. Do you know what I mean? Or sometimes they'll bring me a haircut that's like out of their expectation, but I'm going to follow their head shape and give them exactly the same haircut on that picture, following their head shape. And it will come out, and they will look at the picture like, you know what, that is looking fire. Because sometimes they may have a different version, you know, of their haircut, you know, to look on their head. But then as soon as I give them my version of their haircut, they're like, you know what, this looks so much better.
Yeah.
And they're happy with it. Do you know what I mean? As long as you're making the clients happy, it doesn't matter.
I mean, that's when it comes back to all that level of skill that you know you can confidently make any mess look fantastic.
Yeah. I think as well, clients are expecting a lot more of a higher service than 15, 20 years ago when I first started, especially, like, you know, fellas would come in, they'd sit down, they'd kind of just let you do what you wanted, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, what do I get? Short back and side sound. Whereas now there's so much more variety, you know, there's so much more referencing that the clients can use to pick a haircut. And a lot of people are reading, a lot of men are reading. So I find that they're well educated on like what does and what doesn't suit them, because there's blog posts, there's, you know, there's videos. And I've had clients come to me and say, well, I've got like a bit of a, you know, a diamond shaped face, haven't I? And I've read that these kind of haircuts fit my shape, or an oval face. And it's cool that, you know, people
that's
do have a bit more.
That's amazing. And that's probably over the last decade, 10, 12, 15 years, isn't it?
But it's all there for people to look at. And similarly, it's all there for us to learn from. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I do work on my own in a studio and I'm not working alongside other people, I need to constantly evolve my skill. And, you know, I'm always trying to be better at what I do and look for better ways of doing things. And I'm constantly looking on, you know, ways that I can better myself. And I find by, you know, looking into things, reading, not just hair, like fashion, I love fashion. And I look at a lot of fashion stuff, what's going to be coming out the next couple of seasons, what haircuts I predict, you know, will be fitting into them fashion looks. And but yeah, I think that's, again, that's another way of bettering myself and being able to charge the money that, you know, I want to charge, and adds to the service as well, I feel.
I mean, I think it's fine. You've obviously got quite different clients, the pair of you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The way you work is different, even though both of you, you know, are fairly solidly traditional barbers.
Yeah.
You know, you're skilled, you learnt your craft, you know what you're doing, but you work in really different fields of it. Recurring question, the Turkish barber and not scenario. I want to cover that with two people who are nice and positive, because I kind of, there just seems to be so, just arriving from, you know, coming out of Lime Street and making our way here. Yeah, you're awash with barbershops in Liverpool. Yeah, there's a lot in Liverpool. And everyone I speak to says exactly as, oh, I don't see how it hurts. Do you know what I mean? Do you find it does it damage you to having 15, 20 barbers between here and the station?
Do you know what? It doesn't damage me. But a lot of my clients, when they come in, goes, you know, by having so many barbershops, it confuses me. Mm-hmm. I don't even know where to go. Don't even know where to look. So one guy basically was trying from one barbershop to another barbershop. And he goes to me, every time I try to book in with you, you're fully booked. So he had to try. And then 2 years later, he managed to basically come and sit on my chair. Because he goes, you know what? Yeah, I was kind of like a bit wary about whether you're going to be good at what you're doing. Do you know what I mean? As like, mate, like, look, I've been posting the haircuts for a very long time. You obviously know what I'm about. But when I see even now, the other day I was driving, there's a new barbershop that opened up, a Turkish barbershop. It's not hurting my business.
No.
Because end of the day, like, look, man, I had to start somewhere. When I see a new barbershop opening, I'm seeing new opportunities opening. I'm seeing somebody who is providing for their family, somebody who's taking a step into the community to do something for themselves. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to hate on that.
Yeah.
But it's just creating that whole confusion when people are like, oh, I don't know which barbershop to go to, man. There's so many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a little chat before this, didn't we? When we were talking about, like, I see a lot of them that are empty. So a lot of them are sat empty. And I'm wondering, like, if there's going to be a mass of barbershops opening, I find my clients are loyal. And, you know, a lot of my clients have been my clients for 15, 20 years. Mm. So I don't know who they're aiming their... who their target audience is going to be. Maybe they get a lot of students, maybe they, I don't know. But, you know, like Romeo just said, you know, hopefully if it's a legitimate business, and I want everyone to do well, do you know what I mean? There's enough men in Liverpool, there's enough men in our country, there's enough clients in our country for every barber. So, you know, if there's a lot of barbershops, then there's a lot of barbershops. If, as long as they're doing things properly, as long as they're, you know, the hygiene's up to standard, and
But like I say, there's so many of them that actually aren't really doing much business, so I don't see what it certainly has never harmed.
Yeah, because when I see that as well, yeah, I see it as our industry is booming, yeah, and it's literally like more booming than I had NBA. It's more, that's how much money industry has got. It's more than NBA when I read about it.
Wow.
And I was like, yo, this is insane. So to me, I don't look at it as like it's hurting my business or anything like that. If a lot of barbershops are opening, my thing is, why open up a lot of barbershops when there's a lot of empty chairs in barbershops? You can go there and actually rent a chair.
Yeah.
And sort of bring everybody in one place. What's the point of having 10 barbershops on one road?
Yeah.
The only gripe I do have with it is the fact that the pricing, do you know what I mean? If they're charging like £6-7 a haircut, then people might, obviously, as I say, I don't think our clients would go pay £6-7, but, you know,
suddenly makes you look bloody expensive.
Yeah. It drags the whole pricing system of our industry down. Do you know what I mean? So maybe, you know, that it's kind of annoying in that way. But, you know, it's the same with anything though. If someone can go to someone can go to a designer shop in town and pay £600 for a pair of trainers, or they can go to, you know, TK Maxx and get a pair of trainers for £20. Everyone's gonna pick
an access point.
People will pick. Do you want to go and pay for a £6 haircut, or do you want to come and pay for?
It should be a barber here for every price tag.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Because I know what my price tag is. So when there's other customers that come in and they're like, yo, bro, I want to get a haircut from you, but I've only got a tenner. I'm not going to refuse the tenner. Yeah, I normally take the tenner. And I was like, yo, when you got that 20 quid next time, bring it over. Do you know what I mean? But today, I'll charge you 10 quid. When you save up another 20 quid, come back and give it to me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn money away. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I said, and I'll actually recommend them to very good barbers in Liverpool who charge cheap. I'm like, look, go and see that barber. He charges cheap. Go see that barber. You know what I mean? I'm spreading that blessings around because at the end of the day, the more you give, the more you receive. That's how I see life, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It does seem to. I've had lots of conversation with people like, oh, actually, you know, when we're busy, we send them up the road there and there, do the same back. I always love that. another Liverpool boy, Ian Harold's got his kind of, you know, slightly more kind of designer barbershop, and he's with Attitude, and directly opposite, he's got his own competition.
Yeah.
That's the much more kind of traditional. So there does seem to be that kind of, there's a big world out there for our industry. And that's why I find it difficult when we start kind of complaining so much.
Yeah.
That there's just never been so much work. You know, if anyone's got any room to bitch, it's going to be kind of, I don't know, Tony and Guy and Rush, because no guys are getting their hair cut anymore. You know, they used to go, you know, all those guys that used to go to Tony and Guy and Rush because they didn't want to go to the barbers because they didn't trust the barbers and pay 40 odd quid for a, you know, the junior stylist there to cut their hair badly.
Yeah.
No disrespect to anyone in particular. But, you know, now they're coming to the barbers. You know, I'd struggle to see how many guys are really getting their hair cut in those high street change now.
I think we get it super sharp. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think the thing is we've broadened our skill set to the point where we're covering not only, you know, traditional barbering techniques now, but we're working like, you know, basically men's hairdressing as well. It's so we're covering all bases now. Whereas I remember years ago when I first started out, men would come in who had longer hair, and people I worked with would say to them, oh, like, there's a ladies' hairdresser two doors down. You'd be best going there, do you know what I mean? And they'd send them there. And, like, now that doesn't happen, do you know what I mean? We've upskilled ourselves to the point where we can cut longer hair, shorter hair, fades. Like.
But that's why it was always called the short back and side. The barber didn't know what to do with the top because it needed a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
The skill work in scissors now in barbershops is off the chart. It's so much better.
Yeah.
And yeah, the clipper work, I mean, is unbelievable. Compared to, you know, your original apprenticeship days and your days cutting your mates there, and the sharpness is absolutely amazing. The big bit is that seems to be spoken about and now seems to have disappeared. Is there was a lot of talk about no shows, people not turning up. Has that been eradicated now? Is that gone? Is online booking essentially killed that everyone's learnt their lesson and not? Or do you two still get the odd no-show?
I get no-shows.
Yeah, I get the odd one as well,
I'll message them. I'll be like, listen, if I don't get my money by the end of today, we've got... I wouldn't say that. Because now, we've got that no cancellation policy. Obviously, I'm on Booksy right now and I'm ambassador for them. And before, when people used to book in, they never used to basically leave their bank details. Now there's a no-show protection where if somebody doesn't show up, like the other day, somebody didn't show up, all I did here was press checkout and money came into my bank. I got a phone call, hey, mate, money came out from my account and I never got my haircut. And I was like, listen, when you go catch a flight and you miss your flight, did you ask for your refund? Do you know what I mean? And I said, look, like somebody else could have had that appointment. But because you've wasted my time on that, because obviously I just don't do haircuts. My currency is my time, and you're paying for my time. You're not paying for the haircut. You're paying for the time that I've wasted.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And obviously, ever since I've had that no protection, I haven't had any problems.
So you're not bothered if you get a no show.
Do you know what? You know what it is? The way I live my life, what you're meant to earn today, you're going to earn that, innit? Do you know what I mean? Even if 100 people cancel on you that day, just be grateful and be like, you know what? Two people cancel today, it's fine, isn't it? It's cool. Guess what? Guess what that's given me? Time to relax and put my feet up.
Paid to eat your sandwich. Pretty much the same. Do you find it the same?
Yeah, I don't have that policy in place, but because my clientele is kind of small, tight, like I've had the same clients for years, my clients do tend to tell me, you know, like I can't make tomorrow, or even if it's later in the day, like they've woke up ill, I'm not going to come in today because, you know, I don't want to make you sick. But to be fair, they always send the money over, especially if it's short notice. If it's like, you know, 2 days or 48 hours notice or whatever, then and someone cancels, I've always got people on a waiting list anyway that I can put in. It's very rare that, you know, I will have to text someone and say, listen, you were meant to be in 20 minutes ago, I've sat and waited. And they'll text me and say, oh, I'm so sorry, it's slipped my mind.
I think people are used to that now. Restaurants, you know, you try and get a table in a decent restaurant without card behind you know, on your booking. I think we've done part one, boys. I'm only halfway through my card, so we're definitely coming back for part two. Thank you very much. Appreciated that. We've been the Noble Barber. Thank you very much, and we'll see you for part two.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.